recognizes the heart as something that's far past a biological organ. Obviously, you have a heart, and that pumps the blood through your veins, but that's not how we use the word heart in the common vernacular. The dictionary describes the heart as the center of the total personality, especially with reference to intuition, feeling, or emotion. So you see, even the dictionary's definition of the heart is, one of them anyways, is not the organ. And I think it's the only word that every language does that in. You know, most of the time, if you have common vernacular in a language and, you know, you take something like an organ and apply it to something else, it's specific to that language. But the heart is every language applies it that way. But today, regardless of the world's definition of the heart, we're going to be talking about the Bible's definition of the heart and how it describes it. And the Bible should always be where you go to learn the truth about any given subject. So open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 4. Let me get there myself. Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 23. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So the heart organ pumps blood through your veins into every part of your body. And in that same way, the heart, the Bible's definition of the heart, makes it the source of everything about you. So the same way that in the physical realm, your heart pumps blood to every part of your body, in the spiritual realm, that spiritual version of the heart is what goes throughout everything into your life. It makes you who you are. One of my teachers at school, he calls it the fountain from which everything in the life flows out of. And that's the best definition I've ever heard for it from the Bible's perspective. And so what we'll be going over this morning is going to be a bit of teaching because the Bible has a lot to say about it. But I hope that I can help you choose what you allow into your heart and what you don't allow into your heart. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Lord, thank you so much for an opportunity to open your words. We don't deserve to be able to have this book and this letter that you wrote to us, Lord. If you would have saved us and then threw us in a ditch, we'd still be getting better than we deserve. But instead, we're here fully clothed and in our right minds here at church this morning, and we're able to get some things out of your book. So I pray that you would show us some things here, and I pray that your spirit would work, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So the first thing I'd like to show you, the first thing I'd like to talk about is the condition of your heart. The condition of your heart. If you would open to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll begin reading in verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You see, the Bible's view of the heart is very, very different than the world's view of the heart. And that's pretty much everything in life. But the world's view of the heart is, in my age anyways, I grew up listening to Disney and all that stuff, and the going theme is for you to follow your heart. And I mean, if you contrast that with what the Bible has to say, I mean, it's ridiculous. The heart, according to the Bible, is not something at all that you should be following. And the word deceitful implies that your heart will do anything and tell you anything to get what it wants. And what it wants, as this verse says, is wicked. And then, of course, it also says that it's desperately wicked. It doesn't even say that it's just wicked, it's desperately wicked. When I think about the word desperate, I can't help but think about this story. There was a girl that I was dating, and there was another girl that was like her best friend, and she came to my school to visit me along with her friend. And her best friend, the first couple of days that she was there, she was telling my girlfriend that I was a terrible person and that she should not be with me, and she was making up all these stories about me. And then the day before she left, the best friend took me aside and said, "Lucas, can I like talk to you for a second?" And she took me aside and she said, "Lucas, I just can't see you with anybody else except me." You know? And that's desperation. I mean, she lied to her best friend, and then she told me that she loved me. And I thought it was crazy. And I was like, so obviously I told my girlfriend, I was like, you need to find some better friends. But man, that was desperation, because she was willing to go to those lengths to get what she wanted. And so your heart is that desperate. Your heart is a lying, cheating, stealing sin machine. And you don't have to teach a little kid how to do wrong. You have to teach him how to do right. You are born with certain inclinations in your heart that are not correct. And you have to fight against those. And so, you know, if that's what your heart is, then you ought to be real careful with it. If that's what your heart is leaning towards, then you need to be, the Bible word is you need to examine yourself and examine your motives all the time. Because you don't know what your heart's after. Your heart might be lying to you. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. I don't want to turn to a lot of scripture because it's, you know, well, I mean, I do want to. It's not that I don't want to, but, you know, we don't have time to turn to every single reference about the heart. But this is Sunday school, so we're going to be flipping to a couple of pages here. Matthew chapter 15. We'll begin reading in verse 17. This is Jesus talking here, and he says, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." And so your heart, the sooner that you can recognize that you are capable of doing any of the evil in this world, the sooner that you can recognize that as far as what we can do as a human, then you'll stop thinking of yourself as higher than anyone else. Those people that are in prison for years for doing horrendous things, that could be you if you followed your heart enough. And I mean, that world is teaching kids to just follow whatever you want to do. And that's why that we're in this situation in the world now where you've got kids who grow up into adults that do whatever they want to do. And if somebody disagrees with them, or if somebody has an opinion that they don't like, then they do whatever they want to do with that opinion. And that's a terrible place. That's a terrible state for the world to be in. And that's what a lot of our problems are from. And your heart, saved or lost, by the way, this is not, you know, this isn't just after you get saved, your heart changes. Saved or lost, your heart is constantly producing the means to sin. Now, I want you to notice, I didn't say it's producing sin. It's producing the means to sin. The verse says that those things which proceed out of the mouth defile the man. You don't have to let those things come out of your mouth. You don't have to act on your inclinations. You don't have to. And so, in other words, the first step is admitting that you have a problem. You have to understand, like, you know, that you've heard that before, I'm sure. You know, first step in, I think it's the Alcoholics Anonymous or something like that. The first step is admitting you have a problem. You have to understand that you have an issue and that your heart has a problem. And I grew up here, again, with Disney and cartoons and everything telling follow your heart. And then, you know, as I grew up also, I'm going to hit on this because what I was taught in school was that as a preacher, you are supposed to find the spirit of the age and you're supposed to cry against it. And so I've hit on this before, but those cell phones, I grew up with one. Those things are geared to give you what your heart wants. And I've said that before. And those things are geared to just feed you and feed the flesh with everything that the flesh wants. And that's a terrible thing for your heart. It's not healthy for your heart. It's also not healthy for your body to eat all the things that you want to eat all the time. Me and Brother Randy and Miss Christy were talking about this last night. And just your diet, you know, whatever you put in eventually will come out. And that's exactly the same with your heart. It's exactly that way. The second thing I'd like to talk to you about is the operation of your heart. The way that your heart works. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. So we understand the condition of our heart now. According to the Bible, our condition is not a good one. And the first step is understanding that. And so turn to Matthew chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 34, the operation of the heart. Verse 34 says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Evil, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." And so what this is likening the heart to is a treasure chest. And whatever you put inside your heart will come out. And whatever you keep inside your heart determines who you are as a person. There are some fundamentalist pastors out there who teach on and preach on the outward appearance a lot. They talk about how you have to wear skirts for women, and you talk about how you need to be wearing a suit and all those things, and they try and fix the outward. They incessantly talk about the outward appearance. And the problem with that is that the outward is a byproduct of the inward. You can't fix the outward before you fix the inward. That's not how that works. Otherwise, you'll just be the person and the people that Jesus Christ in the Gospels had the most problems with. You remember what they were called? They were called Pharisees. And it says that the Pharisees were whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. Whited sepulchres are somebody that you just paint the outside. I'm a painter personally. I've been in some terrible, awful-looking houses, and you slap a coat of paint on there, and boy, it looks brand new inside. And that can be your heart. You can just take, you know, the right clothes, and I can be wearing a suit, or you can be wearing a dress, and you can be full of dead men's bones. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. Now, I say that, your outward appearance describes your inward. So there are certain times where I can look at somebody, and by the way that they look on the outside, you can tell what's going on the inside. And I'm not recommending that you not wear nice clothes or not modest clothes. I'm just saying that that's not the important part. That is not where the Bible puts the emphasis on. That's where people are putting emphasis on. And the Bible has a really clear picture here of a treasure chest. And what you keep inside the treasure chest will affect what you do. There are some, you can, you know, if you ever have seen treasure chests before, you go down to the bottom of the ocean and see some of those treasure chests that they found. Those treasure chests are ugly. You know, there are some people, I think of Paul. Paul's a good example. In the New Testament there, Paul, he had been through shipwreck. He had been through a lot of things. He was stoned multiple times. I don't see Paul as some gleaning treasure chest. I see Paul as this hunched over, kind of crooked over guy with no teeth. And I see his bones kind of falling apart and maybe some broken bones as he's preaching. But when he opened his mouth, the power of God came out. And so, again, just an emphasis on the outward appearance, it doesn't matter as much as what's inside your heart. It doesn't matter as much. Whatever you keep inside that treasure chest will affect what you do, it'll affect what you say, it'll affect how you dress, and it'll affect who you are. And the problem with people is what they're putting inside their treasure chest. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, just a page over from where we were. Matthew chapter 13, again talking about the heart here, it says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." 13 verse 15, I'm not sure if I said that. Verse 15, "This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted." So here this verse is describing the entrances of your heart. You've got some eyes, and you've got ears, and you've got a mouth. And the things that you put inside those three entrances affect your outside. They affect your exterior. And they can change you. Depending on what you put inside, they can change you. Again, going back to the food. You eat the wrong kind of food, it'll change you. You put the wrong things in your eyes, it'll change your personality. You put the wrong things in your ears, and it'll change you. And what I'm here to tell you is that if you're putting the right things inside that heart, and if you're keeping that treasure chest the way that you're supposed to, then the right things will come out. There doesn't need to be nearly as much preaching on your clothes as there does on your heart, because that's where our problems lie as a human. And there are some people who have Fox News playing on their TV screen all day long. All day long in their living room. And it just, the TV just stays on. I've been in the house. Now, I don't know you all in here. I've only been to Brother Randy and Miss Christie's house. I don't know what you have playing on your TV. And I don't want to know. That's not my job. I'm not here to tell you exactly what to watch. But I'm here to tell you to be careful about it. Because what you put inside your mind and what you put inside those eyes and ears will affect you. And you think about what the world is putting out and what Fox News is putting out, the Republican news station, and you think about what those Democrat news stations are putting out and the things that they are just playing constantly, those things aren't pure things. You're supposed to be putting some pure things into your heart. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 7 says, "The words of the Lord are as pure words." The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You need some purity in there. Because we live in a sin-cursed world. Your heart has some things that are proceeding out of it. You need to inverse effect that with some pure things. And to let God have room in your heart, you've got to have some less screen time. And if you have children in here, I don't have any kids or anything like that, so I'm not an authority on this matter, but I was a kid once. And, you know, with that phone that has no limitations on it, you're not giving your kid access to the world. You're giving the world access to your child. You understand that how that works? Yeah, your kid does have access to those things, but man, the people that are behind that phone, the degenerates of Hollywood, those people are getting access to your children through that thing. And if you look at it the right way, I mean, that's a dangerous thing. And it'll change them even. I was in Mexico on a missions trip a couple years ago, and I was in a real poor town. And I was around some like just 11, 12, and 13-year-old kids in Mexico. And those little kids, I don't know how to describe it, but they just had a child spirit about them. They were just happy. They didn't have much at all. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have anything like that. I don't even know if their parents did. But you could just tell by their spirit that they were a real kid, you know? And I remember we were given some tracts out in some Bible, and I was able to, the Lord gave me the opportunity with Google Translate to lead like 10 of them to the Lord, like personally. And that was an amazing thing. If you've talked to some 12, 13, and 14-year-old kids nowadays, you couldn't reach them like that. They are blocked off. And I mean, I hope not all of them are like that, but where I'm from in the city anyways, I mean, they're allowed to just go and kind of do what they want. And you walk by them and you can hear them cussing and swearing. The Bible calls it fierce. The kids nowadays are even getting more fierce. And they walk by and they got their earphones in and zombies, you know? And that's sad. That's real sad. And that's because of what's going inside their eyes and their ears. And the operation of the heart is that whatever you put inside that treasure chest is going to affect your being. It's going to affect who you are. And so if you want to be a good person, it says here, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart, if you want to do good, then you've got to be putting good things in your heart and keeping good things in your treasure chest. And you know what's good, and you know what's bad. I don't even have to tell you what is. If you do some praying and if you spend some time with God, then he'll show you what's right. Finally, the last thing, this is real short here, but the last thing I want to talk to you about is the cure for your heart. Your heart needs a cure. It's got a disease. It's got a condition. And you need a cure. Turn to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Psalms 37, verse 4. Here we've got the cure for your heart. Verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." You know, this verse does not mean what it looks like. This verse doesn't mean that if you delight yourself in the Lord, that he's going to give you everything that you want. I mean, we had just gone over in my first point that your heart doesn't have the right desires. What this verse is saying is that if you delight yourself in the Lord, then He's going to give you the right desires. He's going to give you the right things to want. And the Lord will change your heart to be inclined towards better things. Now again, you're always going to have evil thoughts that are proceeding out of the heart. You're always going to have things that are not right that are coming from your heart. But delighting yourself in the Lord makes him pointed towards the right things. You remember last week, Brother Reed was here, and he was talking about the blessed man in the Sunday school, and he went to Psalms chapter 1, and it said, in Psalms 1:1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." But no, verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Delighting in something means to spend time. Delighting in the Lord and in the law of the Lord means you've got to night and day be spending some time in that book. And he talked about it. I'm not going to rehash everything that he said, but you ought to want to spend some time with the Lord. You ought to want to spend some real quality time with him. And if you're doing that, again, I don't have to tell you what to wear. I don't have to tell you what music to listen to. You'll know. The Lord will tell you. I don't have to tell you. And that's something that's wrong in churches all across America. Pastors want to try and pretend like they're God, and they want to be your go-between for God. Instead, what I implore you to do, I beg you, is get your own relationship with God. You be the one that God can, in that still small voice, he can come to you and he can tell you what he wants out of you. And if you're genuine and if your heart's right, then he will. And you have to delight yourself in the Lord for that to happen. The biggest problem with Christianity, the reason that we're in the state that we're in as Christians in the Laodicean church age, is because people don't want to spend time with him. People don't want to get in quiet and turn off the music. I don't even care if it's hymns and gospel music. Turn it off. Get some silence and get alone with God and spend some real time with him. Turn off the TV. Turn off the phones. Every day you can make time to spend with him. And he'll speak to you. You know, people want to, when you have conversations with people outside of church and you're trying to tell them about the Lord, people have asked me, what's the proof? You know, what is the evidence that there is a God? And the first thing that always comes to my mind when somebody asks me that question is I think about all the hymns that were written about our Savior Jesus Christ. There is no other God that thousands and thousands of hymns, of witnesses of people's lives being changed, of witnesses of somebody's heart going from black to white. We have thousands of them. There's no other God that has hymns written about him. There's no other God that has people that can testify and say, I know a man named Jesus Christ. He talks to me. That song in the garden, it says, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. There's no other God like that. There's no other. My grandfather's Muslim. They're not singing about their God. They're not singing praises about a man who came into their life that changed them. But we have that. Somebody wants some proof? Just ask anyone that has had their lives changed by Jesus Christ. You'll find some real proof. My grandfather was a biker. He had long hair down to here. And he got saved. And he was changed. Because the Lord did something in his heart. And without that, and without what we have, then we wouldn't change. And you can change yourself on your own volition, you know. People can get, there's this guy named Jordan Peterson, and he talks a lot about doing good things like making your bed and, you know, being responsible. And those things are good. You know, you can change your behavior, but you can't fill that void inside your heart. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't fill that void, but only Jesus Christ can. Only Jesus Christ can. And your heart is a very delicate thing. In conclusion, I mean, your heart is very, very, very impressionable. It's the most delicate organ and it's the most delicate spiritual subject that you can have, pretty much. And people are way too flippant about what they're putting inside their treasure chest. People are way too flippant about what they keep in their minds and the things that, just the thoughts that are being thought of throughout the day. The Bible, Paul talks about how you're supposed to pray without ceasing. That's not a thing where you're constantly on your knees praying. That's something different. That's something where your mind is always on the Lord, and your mind is kind of, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, the spiritual walk and what it means to walk spiritually, and it's to have your mind not on the physical, and it's to have your mind open to the Lord's leading, right? And what I mean by all that, what I'm saying by all that is, your heart has those inclinations, and it's deceitful. And what you can do is you can go to God and you can say, Lord, what's my heart trying to get done here? I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. And sometimes you'll say things and you'll let things out of your mouth and you say, Lord, why did my heart say that? Why did my heart, what's that coming from? What's the root of that? And he'll show you. And he'll show you how to get rid of those. And again, it won't be for good. It's a daily thing. It's something that you have to continue doing for the rest of your life. And if you do that, then the Lord will find a place where he can reside. He'll find a place where he can live and spend time with you. It says, draw nigh to him and he'll draw nigh to you. So I ask you today, what are you putting and what are you allowing into your eyes and ears? The spiritual battle is taking place here in your mind. But the troops are sent out from your heart. And you've got a fight that is going on, and there's a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle. And you can only win that spiritual battle through your heart and through keeping that. And I don't have to tell you anything else. I don't have to tell you what to wear and what music to listen to and how you should look on the outside and your personal standards and your convictions. If you open this book, you'll find some in here. So I hope that today that that's a help to you. I hope that's a help to you with understanding yourself better. You need to understand yourself. You don't need to be self-consumed. You don't need to be spending a lot of time thinking about yourself, but you need to understand the way that the human body and the human nature works. And the more you understand that, then the more you can figure out how to fight against it. Let's stand for prayer.